Wake up! It's the Sleep Unplugged Podcast, episode 61. How much sleep do you really need? Just can't get enough. Welcome, everyone, to the Sleep Unplugged Podcast. My name is Chris Winter. I'm a neurologist and sleep expert. And for the next 30 minutes or so, your host for this podcast. If you're new to the Sleep Unplugged Podcast, welcome. If you're a veteran, welcome back. It's great to have you. A lot of fun last week with our episode about fake news, disinformation, misinformation, bullshit within the field of sleep. I really appreciate the feedback. It was a little bit of a departure about what we typically do on here. So it's always fun to sort of go in a little bit of a different direction and see how you all respond. And the response was great. Gary, one of our fans, sent in a really nice message saying, I really appreciate it. And really appreciate you kind of shining a light on this. My favorite comment was from Sleep Dr. Chris, not to be confused with me. Sleep Dr. Chris wrote, put the bullshit on blast. It's one of the biggest reasons why I decided to do this on social media. You need the right people there to give you the correct information. I couldn't agree more. And Sleep Dr. Chris and I have decided to do a yearly competition to see who the Supreme Sleep Dr. Chris really is. So we'll have a title of Best Sleep Dr. Chris, and we will figure out some sort of yearly competition where one of us will claim bragging rights. But if you want to follow Sleep Dr. Chris, you can follow Sleep Dr. Chris, Sleep DRCHRIS, not to confuse with my social media, Dr. Chris Winter, DRCHRISWINTER. Great follow, putting great information out there for people up in Michigan where he's at and everybody else who follows him. Give him a follow. He's a great one. So really excited about today's episode. I can't believe we've gone 60 episodes and not talked about how much sleep people really need. It was kind of shocking to me. In fact, at one point, somebody mentioned it as an idea and I thought, well, we've covered that a long time ago. And as I went through the episodes, I realized that was not a true statement, that we had never really covered it. So I think it'll be a fun thing to talk about today, especially coming on the heels of last week's episode about bad sleep information, expert sleep advice. I think it's really important. And last week, I thought a great title for the podcast would be Influencers, Experts, and Bad Sleep Advice, Policy of Truth, which I put on the back of one of my Instagram videos, Policy of Truth, one of the singles off of Violator and Depeche Mode. So this week, we went with Depeche Mode so we could talk about them. Just an excuse to talk about the people that I like. There was one song I was thinking about for this week, which was The Cure's Never Enough, but I thought Just Can't Get Enough would be great. So Just Can't Get Enough was really the first big single for Depeche Mode. It was actually their third single, second off of their album, Speak and Spell, which was their 1981 debut. Just Can't Get Enough was actually written by Vince Clarke, who left the band shortly after the formation and recording of this album. In fact, if you look up the music video for Just Can't Get Enough, you'll see Vince Clarke there in the background playing keyboards. He actually wrote the song, and it's really interesting. When Depeche Mode started coming together, they really had a point of view as to the way they would look and portray themselves, which has famously been documented over the years. There's a massive coffee table book, like 3 inches thick, all about Depeche Mode, which meant fast fashion or fashion news, depending on how you interpreted it. And Vince Clarke was famous for saying, people kept asking me what brand of socks I wore, and it just wore on him, and he left. In fact, if you've ever seen, Vince Clarke went on to form Yazoo, which was called Yaz in the United States, and then he formed Erasure. And if you've ever seen an Erasure concert, he looks like a statue. He does not dance. He does not gyrate. He's not attention-seeking. He plays his music, and then he moves on with his life. So he really wasn't comfortable with the way Depeche Mode was getting attention for things outside of their music. So he left, and Alan Wilder joined the band. And one of his first performances, you can see one of my favorite performances of Just Can't Get Enough. If you go on YouTube and look up Just Can't Get Enough, Archive INA. It is an absolute treat to watch the members of the band, including David Gahan, the lead singer, dance during this performance. Just fantastic song, infectious. And as soon as you hear the little keyboard rhythm, you know it's Depeche Mode. You know, Depeche Mode was actually formed by Martin Gore and Vince Clark. They later recruited, Andy Fletcher, who just recently passed away. Fletcher and Clark formed the band. They then recruited Martin Gore as another instrumentalist. And then they were all out and they heard David Gahan singing David Bowie's Heroes and thought, there's our front man and our lead singer. Amazing group. Fantastic. Really sad to see Fletch pass away, but it was really great that the three of those guys were inducted into the Hall of Fame virtually during COVID. And very soon after that, Fletch passed. So it's great that he was recognized while he was still alive. So let's talk about sleep. How much sleep do we need? Wow, this is a big topic. This is a big topic with no shortage of bad answers. And if somebody said, Chris, you know, how much sleep do I need? The answer is enough. Right out of the title of our podcast, it's enough. You need what you need. And I think we run into a lot of trouble with this question for a variety of reasons we'll spotlight on this podcast, not the least of which is that we're trying to take bad population data and apply it to Frank Thomas, who lives in Salem, Virginia. Do you know what I mean? An individual who's got his own life circumstances, his own health, his own family and work and travel situation. So it's a very difficult question to answer specifically, yet we kind of blend those two answers. So let's talk about the things that make it difficult for us to answer the question, how much sleep do we need? The first is age. Age affects it tremendously. And if you look at age as it relates to sleep, it's not only making it more complicated, but it's constantly changing. If we look at an infant, you know, theoretically be sleeping somewhere between 11 to 19 hours per 24. With the majority, that the meatiest part of that bell curve, probably falling between 14 to 17 hours. So as you fast forward through the teenage years, where it dramatically reduces down to somewhere around 7 to 11 hours, again, 8 to 10 is sort of the middle of that bell curve distribution. By the time you get to your senior citizen years, that shrunk down to 5 to 9 hours, with the average getting 7 to 8. So right away, understanding that, you know, for instance, a senior citizen, somebody who's 65 years old, who's having difficulty sleeping, who's come to see me, that a lot of senior citizens are getting 7 hours of sleep, maybe even closer to 6.5, is fine. There's nothing wrong with that. Now, does that differ to the left or to the right of the average? Yeah, of course, but things do. You eat more than the average person your age. You exercise less than the average person your age. There's nothing fantastic or really new about this. So it's really important for people to understand that in order to answer the question, there's a lot of variables that need to be known, and age is one of them, and age is always changing. So it was right for you in your 30s, it would be very different for you in your 60s. Not only in terms of the amount of sleep you need, but the things that you are doing to either create sleep or make an individual seek more of it. So we'll freeze and look within an age group. So you're saying, okay, well, you know, I'm an adult. Okay, you're an adult. You're going to need somewhere between 6 to 10 hours of sleep. The majority of adults getting somewhere between 7 to 9. So I think that even within that group, you're looking at factors that dramatically affect sleep need. One is the quality of the sleep you get. You know, we've talked a lot about excessive sleepiness certainly comes from getting an inadequate amount of sleep. We talk a lot about this with teens, that there is a bit of a problem where a teen is excessively sleepy, and we're all making the assumption it's because of lack of quantity of sleep. And we always have to understand that the quality of that individual's sleep, the timing of that individual's sleep, all things we've talked about before, are going to influence sleep need. Previous sleep deprivation is also an important factor as well, too, in the sense that have you been sleeping well and adequately in the near past, or have there been periods of sleep deprivation? Those things can absolutely influence the way we sleep. And I sometimes think this is a problem with individuals with insomnia. And listen, we usually do a topic about insomnia the first Monday of every month. There's going to be a few little tidbits about insomnia in this episode for sure. And one of them is the idea that if you are sleep deprived, there is often a bit of a rebound in terms of your sleep need, meaning that if something prevents me from getting a lot of sleep and you don't get to bed until 2 o'clock in the morning, you have to be up at 6 o'clock in the morning to work, you got 4 hours, there's a very good chance you might fall asleep earlier or sleep longer tomorrow night because you're sort of dealing with the sleep deprivation that just happened. And, for a lot of individuals, that can be mistaken. So imagine a patient with insomnia. They're very anxious when they go to bed. It takes them hours and hours to fall asleep tonight, hours and hours to fall asleep tomorrow night. So on Monday night, though, or Tuesday night, I guess, tonight's Sunday night, tomorrow's Monday night, where I'm recording. So it's like 2 days from now, an individual is going to bed and they fall asleep very quickly. They sleep really well and they sleep really long. Unusually long because of the deprivation that happened the 2 days before. Now imagine that individual going to their doctor and the doctor says, how much sleep do you think you need? Well, night number one, they got 3 hours. Night number two, they got 4 hours. And then night number three, they had some large rebound amount of sleep and maybe slept 12 hours. And actually felt pretty good and fairly successful when they woke up after that third night. So it's very tempting and confusing sometimes when the physician says, or the clinician says, how much sleep do you think you need? There's a very good chance that individual is going to say, to feel my best, I need 12 hours. No, you don't. You need 12 plus 3 plus 4, right? 19 divided by 3. You need that many hours of sleep. It's just that you artificially deprived yourself the first two nights. And when you had that rebound correction, you're misinterpreting that longer period of sleep for what you need every night. In fact, it's pretty well documented that a lot of insomnia patients, if you plot out their sleep over like a 30-day period, they have sort of a sine wave look to their sleep. Bad night, really bad night, kind of bad night. Oh, pretty good night, great night. Overcorrect. Then they're underslept. They overcorrect and they're underslept. So what's happening is they're sort of building up this deficit and then discharging it several days later. But they sleep too much. So now they wake up after sleeping 12 hours. And now they really don't want to go to bed at 11 o'clock when they go. So you get this sort of insomnia cycle. Whereas if you'd said, look, I don't mind if you rebound a little bit, but instead of rebounding 12 hours, why don't you rebound 8.5 or 9? Let's limit ourselves when the times are good. So that creates that constant little bit of drive for your sleep, but also schedule consistency, which we talked a lot about in episode 59. Pregnancy can certainly do it, and illness can do it. So depending on how we're feeling, what we're dealing with within our bodies, that can have sort of an influence about the amount of sleep that we need as well. And I would throw in there exercise. When people are going through heavy periods of exercise, it often increases the amount of sleep that they need, like with an elite athlete. And then when that athlete is out of season, maybe like the United States women's soccer team, they're probably going to take some time off and regroup and think about what happened in the World Cup. You can understand that when they were heavily training, they might need more sleep. When they pick the foot off the gas a little bit, their sleep need is diminished. And we need to think about that as well, too, with our own exercise lives. I deal with a lot of athletes who in their off season do not make adjustments to the amount of time that they need to sleep. Because again, they're thinking of it as a fixed number, and that number is always subject to change. We always want to think about not so much how much sleep do we need, but how much sleep do we need at this point in our lives under these circumstances. I think the second thing that makes it very difficult to understand sleep need is that the data that we get about sleep need is epidemiological data. And what I mean by that is we're looking at populations, we're looking at survey data, we're looking at other studies that happen to be collecting when an individual went to bed and when they woke up and making inferences about it. Today, we get a lot of information from sleep technology. You're wearing a Fitbit, you've got a sleep score max sitting next to your bed, you've got an Apple Watch, and that data in some cases is getting sent places and pooled. And so we can kind of figure out what is the average person in Phoenix, how much are they sleeping? Now, we're putting a lot of stock into consumer technology that it's working appropriately, or we're putting a lot of stock into the diary that the individual is keeping as part of the population study. And what we know is that this data is very difficult sometimes. What we are measuring and what we are actually seeing can be two different things. I think a lot of times we are influenced in terms of our reporting about our own sleep. And I feel it too. If somebody said just at a party, Chris, what time do you go to bed? When do you wake up? The answer I give, which I think is being honest, could very easily be contradicted by my wife, who would say, well, yeah, Chris, that's typically what you've been doing, but over the last 2 months, your travel schedule, that's not what you're doing now. So I find that, you know, sometimes the way we report our sleep can be problematic. And you know, there's this sort of narrative that we have that 8 hours of sleep is what we should all be getting. And I think that's not really supported by data. In fact, everybody's probably aware at this point of Matt Walker's book, really kind of creating a horrific sort of view of poor sleep and inadequate sleep. And I'm not here to support poor sleep or inadequate sleep at all. If you've read my book, we talk about it. It's important to get good sleep. It's important for people's nutrition to be as good as it can be. But it's not always going to be great. We're going to eat a candy bar every now and then. We're going to pull an all-nighter and stay up and watch some MMA fights or whatever your thing is. And I think we have to sort of operate within a real-world situation and, you know, be supportive of individuals as they move their sleep to a better place rather than trying to be scary. If you don't get enough sleep, your risk of cancer doubles, which I think was written in that book, which was really poorly supported in the literature. But also the 8 hours, you know, the fewer hours that we sleep, the more we run the risk for cancer. Your cancer risk doubles if you're, no, I mean, not so sure about those kinds of things. So when you actually look at epidemiological data, you become very familiar very quickly with something called a J curve or a U curve, whatever you want to describe it. It's typically more of a J curve, meaning that if you look at the incidence of mortality, it tends to be high, and then it lowers at a certain level of sleep, and then it starts to raise again as individuals get too much sleep. So I often get a question, is it possible to sleep too much? Yes and no. There is certainly data to suggest that if you are spending too much time in bed or too much time sleeping, you are putting yourself at risk for different things. So I just wanted to touch on a few of these things because there's lots of them. One study by itself probably doesn't mean that much. In fact, there was a study from 2016. This was the Shin study in Scientific Reports, nighttime sleep duration, 24-hour sleep duration, and risk of all-cause mortality among adults, a meta-analysis of prospective cohort studies. This was in Scientific Reports. They evaluated something on the order of 35 studies and showed that 7 hours in terms of risk tended to be optimal, and that as you went lower than five, you know, got really bad. As you got above eight, it got really bad. And what was interesting was 5 hours of sleep seemed to be better from a risk perspective than eight if you actually look at the charts. So you're like, okay, great. That's one study. Well, there's been several others, even just in the last couple of years. Sleep Health 2022 study. Association between sleep duration and sleep quality with arterial stiffness, a systematic review and meta-analysis. So this study again showed 7 hours to be the optimal sleep period for those individuals as they're measuring arterial stiffness. There was one in the Journal of Diabetes Care, 2023, Sleep Duration and Risk of Incident Cardiovascular Disease and Mortality Among People with Type 2 Diabetes. Again, 7 hours seem to be the optimal placement of sleep. I'll give you one more. 2022, Journal of Sleep Research, Sleep Duration and Mortality, Influence of Age, Retirement, and Occupational Group. Again, 7 hours. So again, we have to be very careful. Is 7 hours right for you? An individual listener listening to this podcast, it's impossible for me to know that. I think that if you're getting 7 hours but wish you could get nine, but you're struggling with it, I would say, relax, seven's fine. You're not putting yourself in tremendous amounts of danger, most likely getting 7 hours of sleep. So when somebody says, is 7 hours right for me? There's ways you can sort of assess this. I think that if somebody says, look, I'm getting 7 hours of sleep every night. I go to bed at 11 o'clock. I have to get up at 6 every day for work. I do on the weekends. I fall asleep pretty quickly. I'm happy with that. I'm not waking up a lot during the night. And my Epworth sleepiness scale, which we've talked about, the episode 55, are you sleepy or are you fatigued? My Epworth sleepiness scale is a 3. I would say 7 looks pretty good on you. And maybe a follow-up question would be, well, what would happen if you took a 2-week period and attempted to get 7.5. So instead of 11 to 6, could you do 11 to 6:30? You know, set your alarm 30 minutes later. And if the answer is, yeah, Chris, I did that and I feel, oh, so much better, then maybe 7.5 is better for you. And 7 wasn't perfect, wasn't terrible, wasn't perfect. If somebody says, well, I bumped my time out a little bit, I went out to 6:30. But I still usually wake up at 6 o'clock every day or even 5:45. I find it very difficult to make it to 6:30. Well, there's some important information in that statement. You're giving your body that opportunity to get that sleep, but your body says, I don't really want this. You've bought 4 pieces of pizza at the restaurant down the block from where you live for dinner. You ate 2 of them and you thought, oh, I don't want any more. I'm full. So you put the 2 in the freezer to eat later, right? There's an interpretation there, isn't there? And it's amazing to me how many people come to my clinic. They're struggling to sleep. They get in bed, takes them an hour to fall asleep, or they're up for an hour in the middle of the night, but they've determined that they need 10 hours of sleep. You're 65 years old and you need 10 hours of sleep. Well, that's pretty far outside the bell curve right off the bat. Doesn't mean it's not right for you, but let's evaluate the evidence here. How many nights in the last 30 days have you gotten 10 hours of sleep? 0. How have you come to the conclusion that you need 10 hours of sleep? Because back in February, on February 3rd, I actually slept for 10 hours and felt great for the first time in my life. Well, that doesn't prove anything. So we have to be very careful about this kind of determined sleep need. Or it's just a fear. Well, I heard that if you don't get enough sleep, you get sick and bad things happen. And I feel so tired all the time. Back to again, fatigued and sleepy. I just want to feel good. And if the 8 hours or the 7 hours I'm getting now is not doing it, I'm just hoping that the 9 or 10 hours will. That's not how sleep works, unfortunately. It's not how it works. And one of the things I thought was really interesting about sleep is, think about overeating at a meal. One of my favorite restaurants here in Charlottesville is a restaurant called Bang. And it's tapas. It's kind of Asian fusion. I love it. It's a really low-key place. When people come to Charlottesville and I want to, you know, meet them and take them out, that's the go-to place. Great cocktails. A lot of fun. So you order, okay, you order, you know, these little dumplings, or you order some firecracker shrimp, or you order the little pork belly tacos or whatever, and you only get 2 of them. Like, they're the tiny little plates, and you kind of put all of your orders in. And then my thought is always, oh, we only ordered 5 things. Like, I'm going to be hungry. I don't want to leave here hungry. So if I had been in charge of the ordering, we would have ordered a lot more. But we, I mean, I'm, you know, team player, and this is what my friends are ordering or my family's ordering, whatever. It's amazing to me how I feel at the end of that first order, where I'm thinking to myself, well, in the second order, I'm going back and getting the tuna tartare. I'm going to get this, I'm going to get that. And by the time the first round's over, I'm full. So what I thought I was going to consume was not at all what I needed. But had we ordered those things, I probably would have eaten them. So I always find a neat similarity or parallel thought with sleep to eating, in that you could always eat more. But A, does it make you feel better? Like, I'm always so happy when I leave Bang and we order properly. I'm like, oh, I'll even say it. I feel perfect. Like, I ate just enough. You know, I'm not going to go to the trouble of ordering more. It was perfect. As I'm walking to my car, we're getting ready to go out to where we're going next, I feel great versus, oh, why did I get the tuna tartare? It wasn't necessary. That extra food is not making me feel better. And I think sleep can be like that too. So if you're somebody out there who's getting 8 hours of sleep, great. Get 8 hours of sleep. That's making you feel good. I think that's exactly where you need to be. One word of caution is, if you feel like as time has passed, you are requiring more and more sleep, and you're not doing more and more elite level physical activity, that can be a red flag. As we get older, we should actually be requiring fewer hours of sleep, not more. So if you were, hey, in my 30s, 7 hours was perfect for me. Now that I'm in my later 50s, I could get 10, 11, 12 hours and still feel exhausted. That seems to me to be a problem. The other thing I think we have to be very careful of in the opposite direction is what we've talked about on this show before, which is horsepower. Everybody who's listening to this show is going to stay up all night tonight. We're not going to sleep. And then we'll all go about our typical Mondays. Who does okay and who is exhausted and miserable and just can't function? You know, there's people who do okay on inadequate sleep. And by okay, I just mean you get through the day and people don't really notice that you're particularly sleep deprived. I think the horsepower people screw up a lot of data as well, too. Hey, as long as I get my 4 hours, I'm good to go. Yes, good to go in the sense that you made it through some meetings the next day and nobody really noticed that you were particularly exhausted. You didn't fall asleep during the PowerPoint. You made it home without wrecking your car. That doesn't mean you're getting the adequate amount of sleep for you. And for those individuals who are sort of the horsepower people, I think they all have to come to a recognition of, yeah, you can get by on 5 hours, but should you? And so I think the great experiment here with sleep need is, how much sleep are you getting right now? I think you can pull in something like an Epworth sleepiness scale. All your scale is 17. I would suggest you probably need a little bit more sleep. Oh, your scale is 2 and it takes you an hour every night to fall asleep. Maybe you could shrink your window a little bit. So it's really all about trying to match your need and your opportunity with the amount of time that you actually sleep. And when those things come together and match nicely, that's when people really sleep well and really have their best health. And understand, when I define a normal amount, a normal sleeper, I define that as somebody who's got a goal and prioritizes their 7 or 8 or 9 hours of sleep, but understands that humans don't always get what they want. Travel gets delayed. Something happens in your life to prevent you from getting the sleep. All we can do is try to be focused and discipline and try, later on to make up for the sleep that we've lost through, outside of any fault of our own. So sleep, is always going to be varied. It's always going to be up and down. Your job is to try to create as much consistency as possible and do the little experiments up and down of trying to figure out, is the amount of sleep that you're getting what's right for you? It's not always going to be 8 hours. Well, great. Really appreciate you tuning into this podcast. I think it was a lot that was very important that needed to be said about sleep need. Very difficult concept, very individualized. If you have questions, concerns, ideas about the show, drop us a line at Dr. Chris Winter Twitter, Dr. Chris Winter Instagram or Threads. You can find us on the Sleep Unplugged YouTube page. My book's A Sleep Solution, Why Your Sleep's Broken, How to Fix It, really gets into helping you determine how much sleep is right for you and dealing with your insomnia symptoms at the same time. I also wrote The Rested Child, Why Your Tired, Wired, or Irritable Child May Have a Sleep Disorder, How to Help. Please like and subscribe to the podcast. find our Spotify playlists, volume one and volume two. We'll get Just Can't Get Enough. And we already put Policy of Truth on there for Depeche Mode. And until next week, sleep well.